Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett coming to you on the Thursday broadcast. So thankful that you're listening in today. Thank you so much for being part of the ministry that we have at Hickory Ridge Community Church. We are so excited about what God is doing. And by the way, if you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you at Hickory Ridge. We do a drive-in service on Sunday at 9 a.m. and then 10:30 we're inside. We'd love to have you come worship with us. We'd make you feel right at home. And I'm so thankful that God has blessed our church and God has allowed us to continue to worship even in the midst of the coronavirus. We pray for one another. We lift each other up. And if there's anything at all that we can pray for you about, please, please let me know. You can email me. I know some of you have emailed me requests in the past. I really do appreciate that. Here is my email address. It's ccorbett@hrcc7.org. I know you're probably driving. So ccorbett@hrcc7.org. And if you can remember our phone number, if that's easier, if you're listening as you're driving down the road, a real simple phone number for the church, 421-7500, 421-7500, area code 757, okay? Give us a call, 421-7500. Love to hear from you. If you call after hours, just leave me a message and I'll call you back as soon as I can, okay? Well, we've been going through this week a series of messages on the subject of how. On Monday, we talked about how we treat people right. On Tuesday, we talked about how to resolve conflict. Yesterday's broadcast, we talked about how to know God's will. And today, I want to talk to you about the subject of how can I make up my mind? How can I know what my mind should do and how can I follow through? You know, I love the book of Proverbs, and this year I have given our church a tremendous challenge. And here's the challenge. Read one proverb a day, every day, and throughout the year, you'll go through the book of Proverbs 12 times. Read 5 Psalms a day, every day, and throughout the year, you go through the book of Psalms 12 times. Now, I made an offer that I'm going to give to you today on the broadcast, and this is the only day I'm going to talk about it. We've talked about it a couple weeks ago. But if you would like a free devotional book by Timothy Keller called God's Wisdom for Navigating Life, I will send it to you. You just email me, call me, and I will send you this book free. It's a devotional on the book of Proverbs. So today, the reading comes from Proverbs chapter 9, verse 12, and it says, If you're wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. So ancient wisdom taught that you would thrive as a person only if you put the needs of your family and community above your own self-interest. You see, our modern culture rejects that entirely. We are told to be true to ourselves, to decide what we want to be, and then to demand that our community and family recognize and honor that, regardless of its impact on relationships. You see, today, we sacrifice the good of the group for the absolute freedom of the individual. The result is an increasing number of people who feel disconnected and lonely. Solomon says that mockers will suffer alone. Mockers snare at the values and the beliefs of any community. Thus, the mocker has no real friends, and in the end, he suffers. I want to encourage you today, as we look at the broadcast of Making Up Your Mind, realize that as you are making up your mind, that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In other words, a dual-minded individual is one who is unstable in all of his ways. So today, I want to encourage you on this matter of making decisions. You know, the quality of your life will be determined by the wiseness of your decision or the foolishness of your decisions. If you don't handle your problems correctly, you probably won't make wise decisions. Did you know that every day, every single day, we make an average of 3,500 decisions? Unbelievable when you think about it. 3,500 decisions every single day. You know, the safest person on the world today is one who is living right in the center of God's will. In October of 2019, Bert Terhart boarded a 40-foot ocean-faring sailboat and set sail for Victoria, British Columbia. His objective was to become the first North American to ever circumnavigate the entire globe solely, using only a pen, a sextant, a paper, and an almanac for navigation. On July 28, 2020, after 267 days at sea, he sailed back into Victoria, having accomplished his goal. While on the open seas, he faced extreme weather. Regularly, he would encounter 12-foot and 14-foot-high ocean swells, unforeseen ship repairs, and severe sleep deprivation. But in spite of these dangers, he was dubbed the safest man on the earth. When he set sail, he had never heard of COVID-19, or words like social distancing, or flattening the curve, or shelter in place, or self-quarantine. And while he was on that open ocean, Tearheart was safe from it all. In a recent interview with Travel and Leisure, he described that he had hoped to accomplish on this journey, that he wanted to inspire people to take their first step forward. He says, once you take that first step, the next step is easier, and the step after that becomes easier. Taking that first step. Now, here's the problem. We have this indecision that keeps us from making that first step. James calls us double-minded, unstable in all of our ways. A double-minded person is one who is a two-souled person. Double-minded people are often deceptive. Their indecision causes some problems in their lives, and it causes them to be unstable. You see, indecision causes us to be unstable emotionally. Have you ever met anybody who is up and down, happy and sad, aggressive then passive? They're unstable emotionally. They're dual-minded. A double-minded man is also unstable in his relationships. I don't know if you ever met anybody that jumps from one friendship to another friendship, maybe a new husband, a new wife, always searching but never finding, seem to be unstable in their relationships. A double-minded man is not only unstable emotionally, not only unstable in his relationships, but he's also unstable in his spiritual life. He's hit and miss, making decisions, then backing off of them, being faithful at one moment and then unfaithful, inconsistent up and down. When we think about the prescription for a person who is double-minded and indecisive, James gives us three practical steps. Three practical steps in order to get wisdom, in order to get stability. Before I give you these steps, I wanted to share with you a very important poem. Did I ever tell you about the young Zod, who came to two sides in the fork of the road? He looked one way and then he looked the other way too. So the Zod had to make up his mind what to do. If I go to place one, that place may be hot. So how will I know if I like it or not? On the other hand, I'll feel such a fool if I go to place two and find it's too cool. So place one may be the best, and he started to go. He stopped and he said, on the other hand though, on the other hand though, other hand, other hand, other hand though. Play it safe, cried the Zod. I'm no dunce. I'll simply start off to both places at once. And that's how the Zod, who would not take a chance, got no place at all with a split down his pants. Now that's pretty funny when you think about it. But how many times do we do the same thing? Indecision causes us to make no decision at all, and we end up with a split in our pants. Well, how do we correct this? Step number one, admit. Admit that I am lacking wisdom. You see, many will admit that they're not stable, but few will admit that they're lacking wisdom or that they are literally stupid. You know, the definition of wisdom is knowledge put into practice. In Proverbs 11:2, it says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. So the first step is I've got to admit that I'm lacking wisdom. Step number two is I ask God. James says that he should ask of God. In Proverbs 2:6, it says, it is the Lord who gives us wisdom. From him comes knowledge and understanding. So James is doing something that we may not really appreciate, but the readers of the book of James, the Jews who were scattered, understood exactly what James was doing. James is slapping the readers in the face. It's not a slap that you would take as an insult. It is a slap of waking up. instead is one of those wake-up calls. You ever have somebody tell you something and it hits you like a ton of bricks? And then you say to them, thank you, I really needed that. It may sting at the moment, but the slap is intended to wake up the reader to give a new perspective. You see, there is no coddling here by James. James is putting it right out there. There's no niceties. There's no good old boy talk here. This is old-fashioned straight talk. In the opening verses of chapter number 1, James is a spiritual chiropractor, giving his readers an attitude adjustment. He begins by adjusting their attitudes about trials. In James 1, 2 to 4, it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, whenever you face various trials. Some translations may say multifaceted trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. He says, consider it joy, pure joy. And now you may be thinking, well, give me a break. Does James really think that trials are joyful? Yes, that is exactly what he wrote. Now, he didn't say, consider yourself lucky. Or he didn't say, hey, trials make you happy. He wrote, consider it all joy. You see, there's a difference. Joy is that calmness that runs beneath life's storms. It is the delight that stills the heart and anchors the soul. Why can you have calm delight when trials come? Because in those trials, God is making you into his masterpiece. Have you ever had dreams that were shattered? Have you ever wondered where God was when life became too difficult for you to bear? Have you ever thought that if you had more in life, you could get more out of life? In his book, Shattered Dreams, Larry Crabb wrote, Satan's masterpiece is not the prostitute or the skid row bum. It is the self-sufficient person who has made life comfortable, who is adjusting well to the world and truly likes living here. A person who dreams of no better place to live, who longs only to be a little better off than he really is. You see, if Satan's masterpiece is a self-sufficient person, then God's masterpiece is a God-dependent person. You see, when it comes to spiritual things, we are all bankrupt before the Father. People who have true joy are God-dependent, not self-dependent. They yearn for a better relationship with him, and they discover that is only found in difficult times. They find their joy in the relationship, not in the fulfillment of their dreams. James teaches us to have a calm delight when we encounter trials. Now, that's a fresh perspective, isn't it? Instead of mumbling about our trials, we can enjoy calm delight, even in the face of hardship. But James isn't finished with us just yet. In verses 5 through 8, he admonishes his readers to be single-minded, not double-minded. He calls on us to have a wise perspective. Let's read what James said. James 1, 5 through 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Being a double-minded man, he's unstable in all of his ways. You know, Solomon's name is synonymous with wisdom. Where did he get that wise, discerning heart? In 1 Kings 4:29, the answer is given to that question. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding and measureless as the sea, shore, sand. And why did God give him that wisdom? Because he asked for it. James explains that to receive wisdom, the petitioner must ask in faith and not be single-minded. Not the kind of person who is controlled by doubts. What kind of faith do you have? Is it a firm faith? Or is it a wind-tossed faith? In verses 9 through 11, we discover that there's a fresh perspective that is given. This time, James asks his readers to view life from an internal perspective instead of a temporal one. You know, time has a way of changing our perspective. In the early 1940s, Ruth Gruber was working on behalf of the government, and her purpose was to promote the Alaskan territory to homestakers. She traveled by truck, dog sled, and when she was lucky, by plane. In 1942, she was about to board a plane heading for Nome when she received a message from the Secretary of Interior. This was before the day of satellite pagers, and it wasn't an instant message. The telegraph operator had to decode it for her. The bush pilot became impatient and told her that he couldn't wait any longer. The plane would have to leave without her. Gruber was in a bind. She couldn't walk away from a message sent to her from the Secretary of the Interior. She had to wait. I'm sure she wasn't happy that she missed a flight, and she had to make other arrangements to get to Nome. The impatient pilot couldn't wait just a few more minutes, which ended up saving her life. You see, soon after takeoff, the plane crashed into a mountain, killing everyone on board. For a while, Gruber was wishing the operator would hurry up and get that message. Later, she was glad that the message was delayed. When you think about how God moves in our lives, we hate when he delays. But step number three is that we must anticipate that God is going to give us the message. In verse number six, it says, "But when he asks," James tells us that we must believe and not doubt. As we're receiving the wisdom from God, we must wait on that message. We learn from Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now notice it doesn't say it's hard to please God. It is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, God gives us a promise. When we ask for wisdom, the promise is that God will give it. God will give it to us generously and without finding fault. That's how God gives us wisdom. We discover from this passage that God gives it to us continually. That is ongoing. God gives us this wisdom. And I don't know about you, but as circumstances change in my life, I need a continual influx of God's wisdom. If you are listening to this broadcast, we are still in the middle of a pandemic. And as a result of being in the middle of this pandemic, we need wisdom more now than ever before. We need to figure out how to navigate during these difficult times. I am so happy to report that God gives us wisdom. And he gives us wisdom in big things and little things and in-between things, but it's an ongoing wisdom that he gives to us. Not only does he give us wisdom continuously, but he also gives it to us generously. I want you to know that when it comes to giving, God is a liberal. He gives generously, and he does it without finding fault. I'm so glad that when I go before God's throne, I said, "Lord, I need some wisdom." He doesn't say, "Well, listen, you knucklehead, if you get your act together, maybe I'll give you some wisdom." He says, "I'm going to go ahead and give it to you without finding fault." As God gives us his wisdom, oftentimes it does reveal some things in our lives that need to be adjusted or changed, but it gives us that wisdom so that we can see it. I'm so happy that God doesn't want to make decisions for me. He wants to give me wisdom so that I can make godly decisions with him. You know, many times I've heard genuine and sincere Christians say, "I don't know what to do, so I'm going to leave it up to the Lord." Now, I get that, and that sounds somewhat spiritual. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, that's exactly what you need to do. But sometimes, that's exactly what God wants you to do. But other times, that's not what God wants us to do. Lots of times, the phrase, "I'm going to leave it up to the Lord," is really a cop-out, saying, "I'm scared to death, I'm a poor decision maker, and I don't know which way to turn, therefore I'm going to accept whatever happens and call that the will of God." I want you to know that God doesn't want to make the decision for you. He wants to give you the wisdom based upon the knowledge of God's word so that you can make godly decisions. Here's the second reminder. God's wisdom is found always in God's word. James says you won't find that if you're double-minded. If you want God's word and his wisdom and you want the world's wisdom, the two will be conflicting with one another. When I think about double-mindedness, I'm reminded of what happened in our nation during the Civil War. You know, for a while, both sides, the Confederate and the Union, accepted those turncoats and took their information. Now, turncoats were basically those who were on both sides of the battle. However, before the war was over, both sides were summarily executing anybody who did this because they were traitors who could not be trusted. You see, most of the information that these turncoats provided ended up being wrong information or ended up being outright lies. You see, most of them were just saving themselves, making themselves comfortable in a situation. They were not committed to the side that they were supposed to be on. Elijah was dealing with the very same thing, and he told his people to make up their mind. You see, when Elijah preached his message, it put these people in a bind because they knew their conscience was telling them that they had to commit themselves to God, not to Baal. It really disturbed them. Only the individual could decide on which side they'd be on, because Elijah made it clear, God does not want you to be where you are. Either you're going to be committed to him or you're not going to be committed to him. And if you're not going to be committed to him, then you're going to die. As we think about being committed to Christ, there's only one life to live. So soon it's going to be gone. Only what's done for Christ will last. In 2 John 10, it says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this sound doctrine, do not receive him into your house, do not greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. I want to encourage you today that as you are trying to discern what God wants you to do in your life and you're trying to figure out which direction to go, God is not holding out on you. He wants you to know his will. He wants you to make up your mind. You know, growing up in a Christian home has many, many blessings. And one of the blessings is having scripture throughout our home. I remember as a kid, above the kitchen sink where my mom did the dishes was a placard with a verse on it, taken from the book of Joshua, Joshua of old, saying, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. You see, Joshua made up his mind. He was going to serve the Lord no matter what. He was going to follow him. He made up his mind. Oh, I want to encourage you today to make up your mind. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the Lord and follow him all the days of your life? I think if you do that, you'll be filled with God's wisdom. I want to share with you a passage of scripture from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. As you think about wisdom, we need wisdom. If you're a wise person, you know how to make up your mind. Proverbs 1:20 says, out of the open window, wisdom cries aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. Here we discover that wisdom invites people to learn from her. But she does so not from the ivory tower, but outside, in the public square, and in the public places of the city. You see, wisdom is developed only in experience. No matter how hard they study, the graduates of medical school, law school, and business school will become truly wise in their fields only in the open. That is, in real-life experiences. Proverbs is not just an inspirational book with statements that just jump off of the page at you. You see, wisdom cannot be conveyed by listening to a series of TED Talks or by being involved in executive briefings. As you think about wisdom, wisdom is the ability to make up your mind. It is the ability to be able to defend what you believe in public. You see, I want you to know that God wants to fill you with his wisdom. So I want to give you a prayer as we close out our broadcast today. It is a prayer that will help you to make up your mind and be filled with God's wisdom. So Lord, I know far too much about the Bible that I have not prayed about and obeyed in my life. Lord, would you rescue me? Would you help me? Would you keep me from being just a hearer of the word and not a doer of it? Don't let me deceive myself. Now, Lord, I know you don't give me more than I can bear. Your word tells me that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But I can fail to put all of this spiritual armor in place, and I will fail miserably. Therefore, I put myself in harm's way as I armor up and put on the whole armor of God. Lord, give me the real thing, the hard-won wisdom. I am praying that you give me that wisdom. I pray believing, nothing wavering. because he who wavers is like a sea of the ocean, driven, tossed, and fro. That man shall not receive anything from the Lord. Lord, I pray for your wisdom that I will follow up, that I'll be able to make up my mind to be a servant of the Most High. I pray believing that you're going to bring this prayer to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope you prayed that prayer along with me. And I pray that you have learned today that God wants you to make up your mind. Yeah, weigh the facts, pray fervently, ask God to give you wisdom. But when he reveals that to you, jump on in obedience and follow through. Thank you so much for listening today. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.